We have people in the world who know all about God. And Satan, he doesn't care if you know about God. He cares if you know about Jesus. Because you cannot get to God without Jesus.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The title of this episode is God is a Giver and was recorded live at the A Word from God Bible Church in Springfield, Missouri.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
God is a giver. That's today's topic. First thing I want to mention is that God has good plans for the believer. If you believe in Jesus Christ and He is the Lord of your life, then God's got a plan for your life. Our anchor scripture today is going to be Jeremiah 29, verses 11 through 12. If everybody wants to turn to that, I'll start reading. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you." So God is stating in His word that He has a plan for you, for me and for you and for every believer. God has a work for every single person that He calls to Christ. God is not just sitting around wondering what you're going to do with your future. God had a plan designed for each and every one of us before He even made creation. He had it all planned out. God not only has a plan for us, but God will also fight for us. Whenever we have adversaries that are coming up against us, God will fight for us. In Exodus 14:14, God says, "The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." There are times when an enemy comes at you and you're worried and you're fussing and you're upset and you don't know what to do. In this situation, in Exodus, God was promising the nation of Israel, just stand still. Don't do anything. I'll take care of it. That's why prayer and reading your Bible is so important. I had a situation myself, and that's why I'm saying this, where I needed some guidance, and this scripture came across to me that said, just be still. And I didn't understand it at the time. How can I be still and everything work out? Sometimes God is telling you, stop. Just sit still and let me figure things out. Let me fight your battles for you. You don't have to do anything. Just sit still and quit worrying, quit fussing, quit fighting, quit arguing. And that's why we have to pray. That's why we have to pray. We have to know when God is telling us to fight and when He's telling us to be still. And that brings me to Joshua 1:9. Because sometimes God will fight with you. Sometimes He will tell you to go out to the battlefield. And those are the scary times, right? We don't like to confront our enemies. Who enjoys that? But in Joshua 1:9, He says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." He was telling Joshua and the nation of Israel that you're going to go into this land that I'm giving to you, and you're going to clear it out of your enemies. There was enemies in that land. And the people were afraid. And God was saying, what are you afraid for? You're going to go in there and wipe those people out, and I'm going to take care of you when you do it. So sometimes God will fight with you. And believe me, He will let you know when you need to be still, and He'll let you know when you need to fight alongside with Him. So see, these are some of the things that God will give us when we maintain a relationship with Him through Christ and through His Word. In times of need, God will comfort us. He will give us comfort, okay? In Isaiah 26:3, you will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. Now, did you catch that? God will keep in peace the person who is putting their trust in him. That's faith, is it not? If you don't have faith in God, then you don't have the peace that God can bring to you in times that you need comforting. And remember, faith is what moves God. Faith is a relationship of trust with him, is it not? Okay, so when we come to God and we keep our trust in him, he promises us that he will keep us in perfect peace. So God can comfort us in times of need when we're trusting him and we're keeping our mind on him, right? Listen to this. I'm going to read it again. You will keep in perfect peace him whose mind is steadfast because he trusts in you. A steadfast mind for God is a person who looks at his circumstances and he says to himself, I see the problem, but I see my God is bigger than the problem. My mind is not going to be fooled into believing something different than what I already believe about God. You have to remain steadfast in who God is. Believe me, if your faith starts to waver, your confidence in God is going to fall. And God does not move if you have no faith. If you don't believe in God, if you don't believe that he's going to get you out of something, if you don't believe he's going to do something for you, if you don't trust in him, then you're going to get exactly what you're believing. You're going to get exactly what you're believing. You have to keep your mind focused on God and how big he is, how great he is, how awesome he is, and how much you can trust him. And when you do that, you'll start to feel a peace. You won't start worrying about this. You won't start worrying about that because you know that God's got it. So that's how God comforts us. But see, we have a part in this, don't we? We're not robots. So everyone got that? If you want comforting from God, if you want peace in your life, you got to keep your mind on God. You can't keep your mind on the world. The world will make you crazy. The Bible says that we have to renew our minds. When we start reading the Word of God, our mind gets renewed. We start seeing the truth, don't we? Okay. God will protect us. God is a giver of protection. Psalms 91, verses 9 through 12. Listen to this. God will protect you from your enemies and other things. If you make the Most High your dwelling, even the Lord, who is my refuge, then no harm will befall you. No disaster will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. That was originally intended for Jesus Christ, but guess what? That we're heirs to what Christ has through the Father, right? So God has angels watching after us. We all believe in angels in here, right? Okay, so God is telling us that those who believe in Christ have angels guiding them. Again, your mind has to be set on the things of God in order to receive the things of God. Now, I'll put this in the context so you guys can get a better picture of this. If you guys are sitting in math class and thinking about science, and you have a test on math, but you're thinking about science, how good are you going to do on that test? Not very good. Of course, when they grade the paper, they might turn it over to the science teacher, and you might get a good grade in science. But you have to focus on the things that you want. If you want the things of God, you have to focus on the things of God, right? So Jesus or God is saying in this Psalms right here, and I always say God's saying it because ultimately the hand of man wrote it, but the Spirit of God wrote the Word of God. If you make the Most High your dwelling, we have to dwell in God. We have to get up in the morning and say, bless you, Lord. Thank you, God, for another day. There's people today that woke up dead. Not just physically, but they woke up spiritually dead. They have no Christ in their life. They're not getting the Word of God on this Sunday. This is the things of God. This is where God wants us. He wants us in church. These are the things that we need to do. Not because it's a ritual, but because God wants the Word in you. He wants to feed you the Word so that you can carry it out of here into other people's lives, right? So that you can get this peace. Now listen, I'm unlocking some secrets here that aren't, they're not secret. I mean, God's got them plainly written right here. There is a fortune in this book on how to become a stronger believer in God. right? A stronger believer in Christ. So I'm unlocking a lot of truths here, and I'm just praying that you guys will receive these scriptures, because these are powerful scriptures that anything that goes wrong in your life, you guys can put these scriptures to work for you. And if you meditate on these scriptures, I'm going to tell you what, if you believe that God is speaking these into your life, and he is, you guys will be surprised how your attitude will change around. And once your attitude is, everybody ever hear the saying, attitude is everything? You get a new attitude with God, and your whole life is going to spin around. But if you keep the same attitude that the world has, that you got to do it the world's way, it ain't going to work. Because God's ways are not your ways, okay? All right. God also empowers us. In Philippians 4:13, it reads, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. God empowers you. Whatever the plans that God has for you in your life, he will bring you not only just the tools, the material things that you need, but he will also give you the spiritual power to do it. Whatever it takes, whatever he's called you to do. If you need a car, he will give you a car. If you need a house, he will give you a house. If you need health, he will give you health. Whatever you need to do it, he will empower you to do it. The Apostle Paul wrote nearly more than half the New Testament. You know how he wrote it? The Apostle Paul wrote more than half the New Testament, and this is how it got done. Because he was a believer in Christ, he was imprisoned over and over again. And he wanted to come and preach at these churches that he had established throughout the country. But he couldn't because he was imprisoned. So he did the next best thing. He wrote his sermons out and had them delivered to the churches. And those churches saved those writings, and we have them in our Bibles today. Paul didn't know that was going to happen, but God was allowing affliction in his life for the glory of Christ. If Paul hadn't been imprisoned, he would have just simply went to those churches and spoke the words, and nobody would have jotted them down, more than likely. Now, isn't that amazing that God used affliction to glorify himself and Christ? So don't think that when something's going wrong in your life, that this isn't God's will. Don't think that God hates you because there's trouble in your life. Paul said that he has found contentment in all things, the good and the bad. Because when you're a child of God, you know that the things that happen to you because God is allowing them to happen. See, anything that happens to a believer, God has got to give Satan permission to allow it to happen. God is in charge of your life once you become one of his children. We don't always like what happens to us. We don't always understand what happens to us, but we cannot lose our faith in God. So Paul was empowered to do what he had to do for God, even though he wasn't even aware at the time that he was doing it for God. Does that sink in that God can do things through you and you don't even know he's doing it? Because it's God that's important, right? Paul's freedom was important to Paul, but it wasn't important to God. Because God had bigger plans for Paul. Paul would pray all the time, use me, God, right? That was a lot of his prayer. It was, God, use me. Well, God used him. Now, God can give us peace and he can give us grace. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. When we know that we are going to be with the Father at the end of our lives, or when judgment day comes, whichever comes first, because I believe we're in the last days, we have that peace of knowing that no matter what happens to us right now, we win. We win. There's gonna come a day when Jesus is going to be in charge of everything, and we're not going to have murderers. We're not going to have crime of any kind. We're not going to have sickness. We're not going to have tiredness in our bodies. We're not going to have scarcity. We're going to have everything that we want and need. But most of all, we're going to have fellowship with God through Jesus Christ eternally. Another thing that God gives us is strength. God gives us strength. Nehemiah 8 verse 10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Did you know that when God looks down from heaven, Did you know that he sees us and he has joy? Did you know that God is overjoyed with the fact that you believe in his son, Jesus Christ, and that you've been redeemed, that you have not lost your eternal souls to the pits of hell? God is overjoyed. And that should be your strength, knowing that God has joy over you. I would hope that nobody wakes up in the morning thinking that God is thinking about what he could do to punish them for something that they think they've done wrong. Because all of our sins are washed clean through Christ. God is overjoyed with you, with me, and every believer out there that we are his children. And that is our strength, just knowing that God is overjoyed with us. And God can have anything in the world. You know what he wants? He wants us the most. Isn't that beautiful? I always ask God, what do you want with me? Sometimes I don't even like myself. I know that's terrible to say, but come on, I think everybody's had a moment in time where they're not very happy with themselves, right? God is always happy with you. He may not be happy with some of the things that some of us do some of the times, but that doesn't change his love for us. So God gives us direction when we are lost in the world and we need to make a decision. Proverbs 16, verse 9, in his heart, a man plans his course, but the Lord determines his steps. Did you guys catch that? You can make plans for your life, which it's important to be prepared. I'm not telling anybody here not to be prepared. But you could have plans for your life, and God is the one that's actually going to order your steps. You ever have something planned out that you wanted really, really bad, and suddenly the door shut on you and you couldn't get through? Maybe you wanted to go on a trip and you had a flat tire, couldn't get there. May never understand why that happened, but God had different plans that day for you. So God determines our steps. He gives us directions. You could be praying to God and asking God for directions. Also in Psalms 119, 105, listen to this, because this is how you get most of your direction. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light for my path. If you want to know the directions you're supposed to go in life, read God's word. Okay? It's going to be a lamp to your feet and it's going to be a light to your path. You don't want to walk the world in blindness. You'll be stumbling all over worldly things. You'll be getting into all kinds of messes. But when you get the word of God into your heart and you start meditating on it and you start knowing the word of God is going to give you direction. It's going to give you insight as to, oh, I was going to turn left, but now I'm going to go right. Because I remember what the word says here. God's word told me that I shouldn't be doing this. So I'm not going to go this way. I'm going to go the direction that the word says I should go. God also gives us provisions. This is a favorite scripture of a lot of people. Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. Now, I know you guys like to read that and go, my God will meet all my needs, and stop right there. But it continues on and it says, according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus, which means that your needs have to line up with the will of God. An alcoholic can't go to God and say, give me more booze. I need it, right? Is that God's will that someone gets drunk and becomes an alcoholic? No. No, it has to be in the will of God pertaining to his son, Christ Jesus, right? So that's getting back to Jeremiah 29:11. God has great plans for you. And his plans are to use you for his kingdom. And so when you start walking towards the plans that God has for you, all of your needs are going to be met. He's looking for hearts. You know, the Bible says that God searches the world for a heart that's after his. He's not looking for smart people. He's not looking for rich people. It says he's looking for people that have a heart for him. That's why you see people in positions in God's kingdom doing things that when you look at him, you think, how did they get there? I don't see anything special about him or her. And God looks inside their heart and says, oh, I see something special. I see a heart for me. So you have to get your heart lined up with God, and then your plans, then the plans that he has for you are going to start unfolding. There's something that God wants everybody in here to do. God gives us forgiveness. Psalms 25 through 7. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways. According to your love, remember me, for you are good, O Lord. God's ready to forgive. Now, this is an interesting one. You ready for this one? God gives us vengeance. You think that God is not just? Do you think that God is going to allow somebody to run over his children and him not take care of that person? Let me tell you what, anything you can think of to do to somebody is nothing compared to what God can do. Okay? No, I'm serious. The scariest thing you can do to your enemies is leave them to God, because he can get them exactly where they need to be gotten. Now, I'm not saying that we should rejoice when we see our enemies taken down by God. But it is a good thing to know that God says that vengeance is his. Listen to this. Romans 12, 19. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. When you see people doing things to you, when people are hurting you, saying things about you, don't react. Let God handle them. Because you could do something that will get you in trouble. For one thing, if not with the authorities, with God. Because he just commanded you not to do that. You might think God's taking too long. That's because he's setting it up. God is patient. And when your enemies come up against you, God will handle them. But again, if you step in and you start doing it your way, you can mess up your entire walk with God. You can mess up another person's walk with God. You blow your witness. You know what your witness is? Your witness is your daily life, your behavior in front of other people. You leave this church today and you go out into the world and you cut up and you act like them and you tell them that you go to church and you tell them that I'm your pastor and I'm doing this and I'm doing that, and you're not acting like you go to church, you're not acting like a Christian, you're setting a poor example. They see you as, wait, well, that must be how Christians act. You don't want to be called a hypocrite. Christ, boy, I tell you what, when Jesus walked, he had some things to say about hypocrites. God does not like hypocrites. He don't like people that act one way in church and act another way out there. Does that mean you make mistakes or that you don't make mistakes? Yeah, you're going to make mistakes. You don't want to live a mistake, though. We have been saved by God through the blood of Jesus Christ, the most precious thing. And you should act like that, right? You're royalty. Jesus is the King of all kings, right? And we're heirs to that, right? So what does that make us? It makes us royalty. We're children of God. We need to start acting like that, right? Jesus says you're in the world, but you're not of the world. We're holy. We're set apart. We are set apart. God looks at us differently than he does the sinner. He looks at the sinner and his judgment is on them. The promises of God are for the believers. When we're hanging around sinners and people are living that lifestyle, man, bad things can happen to the believer because you can get caught up in what they're doing. No, I'm serious. You are not supposed to be hanging around. The Bible teaches it very clearly, be hanging around sinners, non-believers. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to act like them. You're not supposed to be hanging around them. You're supposed to separate yourself. You were set apart. If these people are seeking Jesus, yeah, share them. Share him with those people, but don't cut up with those kind of people because you got promises that are waiting for you. God will also give you knowledge. Proverbs 1, 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know what fearing the Lord involves? Not just being afraid of God, Believers aren't afraid of God. They're respecting him. You should respect God. You should respect his commandments. You should have fear in the fact of knowing that if you don't do what the Bible tells you to do, it's going to be you that pays the price. So being good isn't just a matter of doing, it's a matter of living, right? We're living the word of God when we're doing good deeds for God. And God gives us grace through Jesus Christ. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Guys, listen to me. God has not spared his own son from you. So when you need some money to get the work done, the plans done for the life that God has in store for you, you think God can't do that? You don't think he will do that? The first thing you need to do is you need to start. Check this out, guys. I'm going to tell you how to get these blessings. Because there is some work involved, right? You got a part. God's not going to do it all. He could, but he wants to involve you. That's called fellowshipping, right? It's called hanging out with each other, getting things done together, working together, right? You have a part. And I'll tell you what, your neighbor's not going to do this for you. Your friends are not going to do this. Your mother, your father, your brothers, your sisters, they're not going to get these blessings for you. It's going to be you and God. First, this is how we get our blessings. We must seek his will. You need to find out what God's will is for your life. Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34, but seek first the kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Did you guys catch that? You got to be seeking his kingdom and his righteousness. How do we seek the kingdom of God? You read the word. Now, the first thing we do is we seek, right? Second, we must ask him. So in Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call on me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Call on me. You know, you guys have the most effective weapon against anything that could ever come up to your life. It's called prayer. But you probably don't have the faith to exercise that. Well, God never listened to me before. Why would he listen to me now? Because you went to him with that attitude. You started out with that attitude in your heart. I know he's not going to listen to me. I'm going to just ask him and then I'm going to do it my way. God, blah, 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 blah. Okay, I'm going to go do it my way. Come on now. Am I speaking some truth here? I know I'm piercing some hearts because God's telling me. You have to ask him. You have to go in prayer. But listen, prayer isn't all about asking and talking. You also have to sit there long enough with God quietly to hear an answer back. You know, God will talk to your spirit. I don't know. Sometimes just things come over me and it's like, I know that I know that I know the answer. A lot of times he brings a scripture to my mind. But he can't do that if you don't know the scripture. That's why you got to know it so he can bring it. Okay, so we have to ask him. Also in John 14:14, it says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now, let's read that again. John 14:14. You guys ought to save this scripture, jot it down or something. You may ask me for anything, not some things, not a few things, not a little thing, not one thing, not two things. You can ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Now see, my name is the deal maker. You can't say to God, well, I want $100 million. You said if I ask for anything. My name is in reference to his will. Now see, listen, because this is so important. If you guys miss what I'm about to say, you're going to miss a very, very powerful truth. God already has all these blessings in his kingdom lined up for you. It's not hocus pocus. It's not superstition. He has all of these things ready to give to you ready to move you into the plan he has for your life. A great plan that you're going to love and enjoy. But you have to ask him. You have to ask him for those things. You have to ask him. If we don't ask, we don't get. When we ask, brings me to point three, we must have faith. Book of James, chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. So you go to God and you're like, well, I want this, but I don't think you're going to give it to me. Well, you might. No, you won't. Okay, this is like a boat on the ocean, and the waves are tossing it back and forth, back and forth. It's moving, but it ain't going nowhere. It's not getting to its destination, is it? It's getting tossed around. I'm going to come to God and ask him. But in the meantime, I'm going to do it the world's way. Well, that didn't work. I'm going to come back to God. So you've got to have faith. I can't give you faith. Number four, to get these blessings. Psalms 106, verses 1 and 3, we got to praise and thank him. You got lots of things to be thankful for. Maybe your day's going bad today. Maybe your day went bad yesterday, but you got your hands. Thank you, God. You gave me hands to wave to you. Thank you. Number five, we must pay our tithes. I'm going to read what God says about this in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 11. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. This is God talking. I'm going to read that again. Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. God speaking. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings, God responds. You are under a curse. The whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. You don't pay your tithes, you don't pay your 10% of your first fruits, you're cursed. Period. No exceptions, no joke, no wiggling out of it, no excuses. Period. You're cheating God. He told you to pay your tithes, pay your 10%. You don't do that, you're cursed. Plain and simple. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this. In other words, he's telling the nation right now, look, you haven't been paying your tithes, but you start doing this, you start bringing your tithes in, test me in this. Now watch. Says the Lord Almighty, and ask if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. I will prevent pests from devouring your crops, and the vines in your field will not cast their fruit, says the Lord Almighty. Do we not know that everything that we have is from God? And he is wanting 10% of it back. Why does God need my stuff? He can do without it, right? Well, if God can do without it, why can't we do without it? Tithing is about getting something out of you, and that is selfishness, greed, covetousness, and you know what else it is? Faithlessness. If you don't pay your tithes, you're telling God that, one, I don't have to obey you. I don't have to give you 10% of my first fruits. I'll do everything else you ask me, but you ain't getting my money. You have just committed idolatry. How did that happen? I see the look on your face. My money is my God. I will obey it before I obey you. I will put my trust in my bank account before I put my trust in you. If I give you all my money, I won't make it to the end of the month. If I give you all my money, I won't be able to pay all my bills. And God is saying, you probably wouldn't have all those bills if you start giving me some of your money. So if you want God to bless you with money, You got to give whatever you want. That is the kingdom rule. Whatever you want, you have to sow it. Look, you want an apple tree in your yard? Go plant a peach tree and see what you get. No, am I making sense? If you want an apple tree, do you plant a peach tree? You want money from God, do you not give him money? What's he going to give you for not giving him money? He's going to give you exactly what you gave, right? Nothing. He doesn't owe you anything. But when you tithe, he says, test me. He's challenging you. He said, come on, step up to the plate. Watch, you cannot outgive God. Now, see, in your mind, you're thinking, if I give 10%, I might get 100%. I might get 200%. Yeah, you might, but it may not be in dollars. It may be that your car needs to break down. Maybe your car is overdue for breaking down, but God is somehow miraculously saving that car from breaking down. Maybe he's blessed your car and it never breaks down. And you're saving hundreds of dollars and you don't even realize it while your neighbor's walking to work. But you're not, because your car never breaks down. And I've actually heard that. Somebody told me that they had this car that should have broke down years ago and they got like hundreds of thousands of miles on this car. God can bless you in ways you don't even know. But see, if your heart's not right with your money, if you're funny with your money, it's mine, God. God's going to teach you that it's not yours. God is going to teach you that ultimately it's his. Because the Bible says that the world and everything in it is his. That includes your money, that includes your possessions, and he can snap his fingers and take it from you at any time. I want to leave you with that, all right? The Bible says that we are to give 10% of our first fruits. That means we don't pay our bills and give them what's left over. We don't look and see what the IRS man took out. We look at our gross total and give him 10%. That's what we do. We do that in faith. We do that in love. We do that in belief that he is going to bless us. When trouble strikes, money can't save you from everything. Money can help you. It can. But ultimately, if God is not on your side, all the money in the world is not going to save you. I've been through battles that money couldn't save me. In fact, I didn't have very much money. And God saved me through supernatural means, okay? I'm serious. I didn't have the money, and God provided for me anyways. So if you guys want to get right with God, you have to line everything up with your hearts. And God wants these promises for you.
This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God.